true, that spiritual, actual, factual answers to questions he asking. You find them inside you, recite you, reciting the records of Kashuk. We laughing, we drafting the passion through fabric. It's time for that comedy, dramedy, all of the fanciest, catchiest acronyms. Listeners, listen, we traveling. Consciousness is always unraveling. The reading you're having is mapping you back to your natural habitat. Abracadabra, it's magic, let's pass it. To top it off, the host are the classiest. Now, what were you asking for? All of the answers, what? All the answers.
Hello.
Hello, Katie. Good to see you. Second time in a whole week. It's rare.
In a whole week.
Are you going to sing the whole episode? I kind of hope so.
In a whole week in the episode. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Is that good?
No. I meant to say yes, and it was also not good.
Yes and no.
Yes and no. That is actually a new way to explore that idea in improv. I think if you're explaining people the yes and rule, you know, people say yes and no. You can do and no.
All right. So we should tell people you're dressed like a doctor.
Mm-hmm. I had a white lab coat on earlier.
Okay, thank God, because I would have said you're dressed like an insurance salesman.
Right. You got to add the white lab coat to be a doctor.
That's the deal. So you had an audition for...
some video game where I was going to be playing a doctor. I don't know. We'll see.
I love video game auditions. It was a VO? No, then you wouldn't be dressed.
It's what's called performance capture.
Oh, yes.
Where they actually like shoot you and then they just videoize you, but you're still, everything you did was like, it's different than motion capture because they're capturing your whole performance, not just your movement, I guess.
Uh-huh.
I don't know. I've actually never done it. This is all theoretical for me.
Okay. If they shoot you though, shouldn't they go to prison or... And how are they going to film the rest of it if you're dead? Do you know what I mean?
Because they shot me. I see what you're saying. I got the joke.
I just really wanted to commit to that hard and see like if that would, if the commitment alone would make it funny. It didn't.
Sometimes that's the case. Sometimes the commitment alone is what we need.
I feel like I have 70 things to tell you and it's been 4 minutes since we talked. And by 4 minutes, I mean 2 days. Okay, so I auditioned today as well. I have makeup on my face parts. I haven't put makeup on my face parts. I don't know the last time. Maybe it was like, I can't think of the last time.
No?
Actually, I can. It was the last time I did an audition, which was probably like 8 months ago or 6 months ago or something. It was so fun, Cass. Like, there's something about the freaking goddamn Northern Florida vibes for me, where everything that is hard and resistance-y other places isn't here.
Was this in human form? You actually went to a place and did a thing?
No, it was a self-tape, but it was like a real kind of like complex one. I had to sing a song with backing tracks and then switch into a monologue and be funny and then explain a thing and say words. So it was like a lot of parts.
Uh-huh.
So it felt like I had to like move all the furniture around to get the camera high enough and get the lights in the places, you know? Anyway, just like I'm so happy to feel like theater feels fun again.
Nice. That's a huge thing.
I have to tell you, and for the listening ears, I might have to like start an entire study of astrocartography now with how accurate this is turning out to be. I mean, in what universe would I ever have thought I would feel really good, just walking around, not in states of spiritual ecstasy, not in the Akashic Records, just like walking around like, the sun. And then it'll like rain and I'm like, ooh, I'm afraid of the lightning. And then the lightning's over and I'm like, the sun again. I'm like going to bars by myself, just chit-chatting with people next to me like, hello, stranger. And they're nice. They're nice here. Here's a story for you.
Okay.
Today, I went for a walk in the morning. I take Squeeze on a walk so she can defecate and I can walk. And this is how we start our day. And I went to this neighborhood that I like that's very pretty. It's like 17 minutes from my house, but I'm a driver. I don't care. I'm walking past all the cute shops. And I know that the river that I want to see is right behind this cute shop area. So I'm like, we're going to see the cute shops. Then we're going to see the river and it's going to be great. And I'm passing by a coffee shop and there's a woman probably in her like late 50s. And I notice her dress and I'm like, that's a fucking cool dress. And I'm like, should I say something? But she was talking to someone. So I was like, I'm not going to interrupt them to compliment her, but what a lovely dress. And then I'm like skipping along on my way. Cut to like 4 minutes later, Squeeze stops to pee somewhere. And the same lady has apparently left that restaurant and caught up with me. And she's passing me and I go, oh, it's you. And she goes, uh-huh. And I go, sorry, I love your dress. I saw it at the coffee shop and I almost said something. It's so cute. And she was like, oh my God, thank you so much. It's from this store and this neighborhood. And what's your name and where are you from? And what do you do? Can I walk with you? And I was like, sure. So she's like a fancy, but like not creepy. Like it was like friendly and cool. And then turns out she like runs or she doesn't anymore. She used to be the board chair of an arts council that gives money to nonprofits. And she's like, oh, a theater artist. Interesting. I know all the theaters. Have you met Shibbity Bobbity Bow at this theater and the executive director over at that theater? And I go, nah. And she goes, would you like to? I go, yeah. And she gives me their telephone numbers. And she's like, I'll just pop them a line real quick and just let them know to expect your call. Anyhoozle, this lady knows everyone. And she already called the two people because she texted me later in the day and was like, okay, executive director of this theater, can't wait to hear from you. And I'm like, they can't? And then I'm like, oh, okay. So like after we tape tonight, I'm going to call her and be like, hi, I do stuff, you know, but I'm also going to sound fancy and be like, I have these visions for these plans of the world because I kind of do.
Right. I have these solo shows of different varieties. But I also
want to like make a season.
Yeah, I'm ready to direct some shows and also act in them and bring
and
in other actors.
The whole thing and call it a company.
Don't call it a comeback. I've been here for years.
No.
Yes and no. You don't want me quoting LL Cool J?
Yes and no.
Yes and no.
You want to know what's weird about you quoting LL Cool J? Have I told you the story about Rami and I meeting him?
Yes, at a bar, at a rooftop bar or whatever, the one up, hey, the fancy Rainbow Room or whatever.
Yeah, except we didn't really meet him. We had eye contact and a hello. So.
And then you were like, that was LL Cool J, right?
Yeah, Rami goes, like, just took notice of him. And then I went, hey, to him. And he was like, hi. And then he walked away. And then we got in the elevator and I was like, oh my God. And Rami was like, was that someone? I go, it was LL fucking Cool J. They were like, oh, fuck. Yeah. I hope I'm remembering that completely wrong and they have a totally different story.
Often I'll tell that story just like you told it, and then Rami would be like, no, I'm literally the one that recognized who it was, and you had no idea. That's often what happens in those
with
stories.
You and Rami?
Yeah. I'll have the memory of being like the one who got it, and then Rami will have the memory of them being the one that got it. I won't say who's right in those.
I wouldn't recommend it.
Well, you know what? Honestly, in the past, I'd have just gone, I'm probably wrong.
Right. Correct.
And now I'm like, maybe. I mean, in the moment, I'll always fight for it. I'll always be like, nuh-uh. But then I'll be like, no, it's probably not right. I'm dumb. It's a pendulum. Life is a pendulum. How you perceive yourself, how you defend yourself, how you stand up for yourself, how you let go of needing to be right. It's a swinging back and forth, constant. Find that balance.
Nice.
Katie doesn't agree. You're like, I just get smarter and smarter.
That's how your life is.
My life is a pendulum. I'll put the M in front of it.
Well, I mean, the way you're describing it sounds, I don't fully identify with the pendulum, but I do identify with, that does sound like what you describe a lot.
Right. Exactly.
Like I would say that sounds like exactly what happens in Cassidy Land.
In Cast Land.
I got equally weird shit going on over here, just different variety. Okay. So back to this place being magical.
Mm-hmm.
I'm so, so interested in, I mean, my whole life, I've loved astrology and planetary alignments and all that stuff, but I can't believe, I'm like, can't get over how right on this me having five exalted planets in this place seems to knock would be, because it's not just, I'm not like, oh, I drive around and I'm so excited by all the things I'm looking at with my eyes, although they are pretty. It's just things are, feels like the wind is at my back. I'm a boat and the wind is in my sails and it's moving. I don't know. We'll see, but I'm happy.
Now, I'm not in any way trying to pee on that parade, but I feel that this is tickling some deja vu with me.
Go ahead.
For the previous two moves that you made.
But not at all.
Okay, so it's qualitatively different for you and your body. I get, yeah, because you're the one who's there experiencing it.
Right.
But descriptively, words are similar.
Is that right?
Yeah. I mean,
I said that about New York.
You know, there might have been a struggle, but then like, yeah, but then like, I feel like this is happening and then this is happening. And then I met this person. No. Things must, you know, it just feels like, you know, things are in alignment.
Oh, no.
I don't, you know. So I'm just saying, you know, yes and no.
No. Oh, my God. That is the title of this episode.
So, it, you know, grain of salt. But you're also experiencing it physically differently, it sounds like.
That's my whole point, is the physical reality is so different. I've never felt anything like this. Now, you're right. I am always enthusiastic about new stuff, always. And I always think, like, it's got to be great. So time will have to tell, you know? Yeah.
But Mancus, maybe if memory serves me, was like, more like, this feels like right, like it. You know, it's very beautiful and it's very calming and it's very, And then New York or Beacon was like, oh, it's so beautiful and open and alive and you know, and also I feel really excited about the city and auditions. So
yeah,
those were the descriptors I'm remembering from you. So like they were both positive, but had a slightly different qualitative energy, but they were also, I feel like the wind is at my back kind of was.
Really?
In the previous two places, but it didn't last very long.
That was not how I felt at all. Okay, here's the thing. I'm sure that is correct. The words I've said to you, your experience, I validate and hear and respect.
Oh, we're so careful.
I do. I mean, I really do, because I know what it's like to talk to me.
Do you?
Kinda.
Yeah, no, you do.
Yeah, kinda, to the degree that you can. But my point is, you know, and it's also, I think, hindsight, like comparing them to each other. Now I can tell you exactly what was actually, like, I can tell you exactly how I felt when I got to Mancus compared to this. And I can tell you exactly how I felt when I got to New York compared to this. I'm hesitant to, because now I think you won't believe me. But so you made a face that said, yeah, I probably won't.
No, I was like, I understand why you're saying that, but go on. I probably will. I generally believe you when you say things.
Okay, that's nice.
I would say so.
That makes me feel good.
You're right. But that face probably is like, no, go ahead. I mean, I'll take everything through a filter, but I will definitely believe you.
All right. Well, when I got to Mancus, all of this is, I'm taking it with a grain of salt too, because we're going to have to see.
Yeah.
Because knowing me, we're going to have to see. But coming out of California and entering the spiritual vortex of Mancus, Colorado. Mancus was like a very high vibrationally spiritual place where it felt like walking on a cloud in another dimension.
Mm-hmm.
And that did feel amazing compared to California, where I had been for 20 years and where I was really stagnating and not feeling good. So I think, so two pieces. The comparison between the two made me elated. And the second piece was, that place is legitimately just a vortex of light. Jacksonville, Florida is not a vortex of light. It just has astrology that's good for my system. That's a very different energy thing.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so anyway, I was excited. It was awesome. And then it was complete. Like my need to be there was complete because the energy there, the spiritual vortex did what it did for my system. And then it was like, you're all set. Go ahead and move along. That's the piece.
Right. So that was almost like an external reality that wasn't even necessarily specific to you, is that Mancus is a spiritual vortex that you needed to enter into.
And it did have a very distinct effect on me. Like I felt really good there initially until the energy was done with me. And then I felt bad there because I was done.
Yeah.
Like whatever the journey was, which I could name, it was the healing.
Because ultimately Mancus wasn't good for you individually.
Correct. It was good for my healing process and my karmic processing and dealing and spiritual ascension, blah, blah, blah. But it wasn't like a place that was going to work for Katie Rubin's 3D life. Then I got all this guidance to go to New York. And New York felt, well, the drive was a horrible shit show, if you recall.
I do.
And then my condo was fancy and I lived on the river and it was beautiful and exciting and the New York City. And yeah, so I was so super excited. Quickly, though, into that journey, things got very difficult. And I would say, again, about 6 months in, the energy of the area was so painful to the middle of my body. Every single day I was driving around going, I hate the energy here so much. But you know what? I have friends and I like my condo and the dog is happy and winter is over and like talking myself through navigating that shitty energy. But you're right. At the beginning, it was exciting because it was different and there was a big vortex. That my building was also on a vortex there. Actually, that's a portal. Sorry, that was a portal. They corrected me when I said that. But that's not the whole area. That was like that building was sitting on a specific. Anyway, so you're not wrong. And boy, was I ready to get the fuck out of there because of how uncomfortable my 3D body felt there. Like I just couldn't stand how I felt
and is
in my body.
Is Jacksonville have any kind of that you know of specific, not to you, but to the world? Because that's what you're saying about both Mancus and your building were like not just for you, but for everybody. There is a spiritual vortex and a spiritual portal.
Yeah.
Or whatever there.
Yeah.
In those locations. But Jacksonville, as far as you know.
As far as I know so far, we'll see.
Doesn't have any of those fountains.
I'm not experiencing any of them yet. And I haven't ever. I mean, it's not. I mean, just think about it. Just in and of itself, it's just a funny idea that Jacksonville, Florida would have anything about it that's good.
But
at
that
all.
It's special for you is amazing.
That's what I'm tripping on, is that this is different. This is about, I have five exalted planets in my astrology here, me. So, and what I kept saying to friends when I was moving, and I probably talked to you about this, was like, this is the first move. By the way, let's just remember, I've been in California 20 years.
Yeah.
So, these moves are not a thing I was doing every day. But anyway, but I did move around a lot in California. this is the first one where it's a yes from spirit, but I was a yes. Me and spirit fully agree 100% on this one. Whereas New York, I was like, what? For about 6 months.
Really? Do I have to? Yeah.
Yes. Remember? And then Mancus was like, that's fucking weird, but okay. And then it ended up being really cool and then being done. This one is like, I can't wait to get down there. I feel so much better there. I've got all these 3D things that are happening for me already before I'm there through Sarah, my sister, and real estate and stuff. And so far, it just feels like kind of like the best of all worlds for me.
And then you compliment someone with a dress and get connected to an executive director of a theater company. Like, that's ridiculous.
So we'll see, dude. You know, you're totally right to be. I mean, we'll see. We have to hold everything with gentleness and a grain of salt, you know?
No, but I think you've described the difference, and I think we've honed in on it a little bit, and that's an interesting thing about, like, dharma and mission and comfort versus necessary process, you know?
Right, right.
Like, those were, like, mission-based, almost. They were, like, task-based moves, like, okay, now I have to move here to do this, take this. Okay, now I've done that.
Yeah, I actually think that the tasks of Mancus and New York got me physically integrated enough to be where spirit and self want the same thing. Like New York blew my body open and got spirit down much more into the 3D. Like they became one thing. That's why this whole not needing to open the records thing is happening, because spirit and body are one thing now. So if the body wants a thing, that means spirit's on board. Now, what, you know, in terms of like how long and for what purpose, like that's remains to be seen. But yeah, I just really see the progression of Mancus healed XYZ, Hudson Valley healed ABC. And then my system was like, where do I want to go? And it was like, remember I checked out Wilmington?
Yeah.
And that was, I was like, yay. But then it was like, nah.
Right.
This continues so far to be a yeah. And I believe this was the whole thing I was trying to say today, was between my lightning strike and the astrology warning about it and moving here and it feeling so good, I'm like, I was always an astrology fan, but I could not be a deeper. I mean, I have been fully converted. Like I am wowza, like pretty humbled by it. And it's, I don't know what to say. I'm amazed.
That's awesome.
And we'll see. So I'm happy right now and grateful for that. And, you know, there's challenges, like real life stuff is happening. Sarah's out of town and I'm like meeting people on my own again. But it's weird because I feel energized to do it. It doesn't feel like a task, like a chore. I'm like, who can we meet? Where do we go? Okay, we'll go over here. Like,
yeah. And you literally have zero friends there yet?
Well, like last night I met this really fun couple and we exchanged numbers and today I met that lady and it's like that. So, I mean, I guess not, but I don't feel that way.
Right, but those are just people you've just met. Yeah, you don't have any community there yet besides your sister.
No, nope. And her friends who I've met before who are here and they're nice. I like them. But yeah. And I would usually be like lonely at this point. Like I was really lonely when I got to New York. Anyway, dude, I'm excited. I'll continue reporting back. We'll see over time, but I'm very happy about it. And what I like even more, and then I'll stop talking about this, is I don't know how to explain this. I think because it isn't a town you would think of in your mind as being cool, the fact that it's cool to me feels very authentic. Like it feels like this is a thing that fits me.
Right. You're not basing it on some external version of it, some marketed version of it.
Yeah. Or like everyone knows New York is cool. That is a collectively agreed upon judgment of New York, a positive judgment.
Yeah. And everyone has a very specific, everyone outside of Florida has a real specific judgment around Florida and Jacksonville, like
not being cool.
So like you're a full-on hipster for liking Jacksonville. Like, good for you.
Oh, that's so funny. I would not have thought of it that way, but that's really funny. That's a good point.
But like I've mentioned it to several people, like they're like, wait, where's Katie now? I was like, oh, she moved to Jacksonville. And they all kind of go, why would you move? What? Why would you move to it? Like, it is so full of judgment and like...
Isn't it amazing?
It is baked in.
It was really... That made it really hard toward the end when I was making the decision. I could literally feel in the collective. I hadn't even talked to anybody. It was before I talked to you about it. And I was like, boy, am I going to get a lot of shit for this one. Like, who the fuck's going to... Today, I was shopping in a store. Really nice people. I love how Southern everybody is here, but a little bit not Southern. Uh-huh. It's like Southern Georgia here, but not because it's Florida. I just fucking love it. Anyway, I was talking to these two nice women in the store. We were bonding and then the checkout lady and the two of them, we got to talking and I told them my whole thing and they were like, wait, you moved from Beacon to here? Why? And they live here.
Exactly.
I was like, well, you know, all these reasons or whatever. But even the locals were like, that's weird. I don't know. I'm happy. We'll see. We'll see. We'll see. It just, I'm hoping it's that thing of like the shoe that fits just right.
Uh-huh.
You look at it, you're like, that shoe's fine. But then you put it on and you're like, that's the best shoe I've ever had. You know what I mean?
That's how I feel about my Skechers that I recently purchased.
Oh, tell me more.
They're just really comfortable shoes. That's all. They're like walking on marshmallows. They're like really great.
And I'm,
it was one of those stupid things where I always buy just slightly too cheap shoes.
Okay.
You know, slightly too inexpensive.
And then they,
I'll just save money and get those. And they're okay. And then they're not.
Yeah.
So then you end up with a lot of shoes, none of which you want to wear.
Aww.
So you ended up spending way more money.
More. Right.
Ultimately. And I was like, stop it. I knew I had a pair of actually, this is such a boring story, but I'm going to tell it to you anyway.
I'm ready.
The last time we were in person was when we recorded in Desmond's backyard.
Oh my God.
And as we were leaving, he had a little free box out in front of his house and there were a pair of slip-on Skechers.
I remember.
That were a little worn out, but I was like, those look comfortable. I'm going to put them on. Oh. And I just wore them to death. They were my everyday shoe for the next year.
Yeah.
And I wore them to death. And finally, I was like,
yeah.
I found out there was a Skechers store nearby. And I was like, I'm going to go actually spend real money on real shoes.
That's great.
And then they were having a big sale. So I didn't even spend that much money. But it was like, treat your damn self. You can afford it. And spend one amount of money on the quality thing or five amounts of money on the shitty thing.
Yeah. Yeah. I've learned that one with dating a lot.
You can go out on five dates with six shitty guys, and that was just six shitty dates.
Speaking of shitty dates, oh my God.
Oh, goody. More stories?
The Bachelorette.
Oh, I care so little.
I know. I did before 4 days ago, me either. Obsessed.
Enunciate that more.
Obsessed.
Yeah?
Oh my God, I'm obsessed.
What is it about it that draws your soul in?
Here's the deal. Yes, the humans on it, if we're generalizing in a broad sweeping way.
Are the Jacksonville of people.
Yeah. Yes, they are. They're like basic. They're basic people. Mm-hmm. Okay, fine. They're also gorgeous and nice to look at. It's fun to look at pretty people. That's nice. But also, the more I get into it, it's destroying my judgments of basic people. I'm always getting that judgment destroyed more and more. I like basic people kind of a lot. I live in Florida. But my point being, this sounds like that thing you see in a like the Star magazine where it's like celebrities, they're just like us. Basic people, they're just like us. In other words, they're trying to find a partner. They're trying to fall in love and they're going through, yes, it's like a weird, I'm one lady and 30 dudes are vying for my attention and like we're all trying to fall in love with each other, which is really weird.
Right.
But it happens. It starts to, you watch it happen and it's not, it's like, wow, that one is a real connection and this one is, they're trying and this one is a douchebag. And you're just like enjoying watching somebody else's attempt to find a person, like dating. And real human drama ensues, which is just like what we're all going through. So how different are basic people from us in the end? Cheers.
Chin chin. Yeah. And do you ever see moments of actual, like what you would call like spiritual growth, or at least spiritual reveal for the people, self-reveal? Like they go, oh, I've just learned something, or I have been changed.
Regularly. That's the most satisfying part about the show is that it's like people really like, because you know how dating is really confronting and uncomfortable. You have to get vulnerable. You have to tell the truth. You have to share. It's like so intense.
Yeah.
And they go through that because it's over weeks and weeks and weeks. So at the beginning, everybody's just saying the right stuff and looking pretty, being charming, da da da. And then it gets real. They go on dates. They make out a little. They have feelings. This one doesn't respond the way they wanted. They cry. They talk to the camera about how sad they are. But the da da da. It's like just, and then they tell each other, it was really hard for me when you blah, blah, blah. And then the person goes, oh my God, I'm so sorry. I never want to do that. Here's what I really meant. They're doing like human relational dynamics.
That's good to see occasionally.
I find it really strangely satisfying and fulfilling. Like it's not just shallow, pretty people fucking. That's the show Too Hot to Handle. You ever seen that show?
No. Or like Love Island. Is that also just pretty people fucking?
Yeah. That's just like hot people fucking and like not learning much. And then like their idea of a revelation is like, oh my God, it was like I was mean to him and then he like didn't want to hang out with me. But then I was like nice to him and he did. And I was like, wait, you know, but on The Bachelor, it's like, I don't know. There's real shit going on. I like it. I'm into it. It's good TV.
That reminded me, speaking of reality TV, more in the documentary TV, which is slightly different.
Yeah.
Did we talk about the, oh God, I can't remember the name of it. It was a documentary on HBO about a really brutal like assault and murder that took place like in the 80s. And these six people were arrested and indicted. And then later they were cleared of charges, but people were still thought that they were guilty. You don't know this story?
No.
Well, I don't think it's a little bit of spoiler, but I'm going to tell you because it was so satisfying.
Hmm.
Because concurrent with them doing the documentary, they were doing a documentary style theater piece in this small town. They're creating it from scratch. They're writing it from transcripts and having
the same people.
I don't think it was exactly the same people, but there was a documentarian who was like interviewing people and then, you know, weaving together the footage and blah, 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 blah. But meanwhile, while we're watching the documentary unfold, they're occasionally checking in with the process of the production.
Huh.
It was really well edited. But the whole point of it is like this production was done in the style of like the Laramie Project.
Yeah.
You know, where they just used transcripts. They had people playing these people. But these people are all still here. Like they're playing people who are still in the town sometimes.
Wild.
Like this one actor who's like this young, you're like, oh, he's in every improv troupe if he didn't live in this small town.
Yeah.
And he's like the waiter, you know, a sexually ambiguous waiter at the pit stop. You know, anyway, he is playing like the police detective and he's really into like, and the detective is actually not being painted in the best light because it comes out that his methodology was really bad and he like drew all these conclusions, kept turning off the video camera when he was taping their confessions and they would turn it back on and suddenly they'd change their story.
Okay.
And you're like, what? So
yeah,
whole thing is, you've got this whole family of the murdered woman who cannot accept that these people are not guilty of it, right?
Okay.
They're like, I don't care what you say. You cannot make me see it any differently. This is ridiculous. So they're always like, this detective is our hero and he's part of our family now because he did this for us back in the day.
Wow.
And there's a lot of like intense energy. And then you've got these people who are freed after being in prison for a while.
Oh.
And their lives are ruined, destroyed. They have no life.
Wow.
And they know that people still think they did it.
Fuck.
Even though they're like, you know, so the documentary might change minds because it's a documentary and it's edited in a certain way. But then they do the play and they show like scenes from the play. They don't show the whole thing. They show like opening night of people arriving, including some of the family, not much of the family. A lot of the family refused to go to this play. But this one main guy who we've been talking to a lot, who's really like, no, no, they did it. There's nothing. I know you're showing me other evidence, but this evidence shows this and I will never see it differently. And he sees the play. And then they sort of follow him over the next like 12 hours and they're just talking to him and he's talking to his wife who has actually been thinking this way all along, but she can't fight him on it. He has changed and it is beautiful to watch. This man is changed by his experience of watching theater. And it was because of being in the room in that way. It was the only way. You could show him video after video and they were showing him evidence and video evidence and he was like no, and then he just sat in the room with all these humans and he couldn't argue with it while it was happening,
right?
So he had to just sit there and take it in.
Wow.
And you watch him change and he changes his mind and then he calls his brother and he's like, I wish you could have been there. And his brother's like, I don't know. And he just stays with him. He's just like, I know how you feel. And I love you. And this is really hard to change, to think you've been wrong all these years. But the whole point is he sat in a room with human beings and had an experience that was theatrical in nature. And because of that, 100% changed his soul. His soul was changed. His belief was changed. And I love that.
Yeah.
It was really like, it was boo, tears.
What else is there than that? That's the yeah.
Right. Like that was the whole point of it.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. And he, and like the detective doesn't go to the play, but he's really defensive. And that was another thing to watch. I just recommend, you should just watch it. Watching another human struggle with his own fallibility.
Right.
Live on camera.
Yeah.
And argue and fight, but you can see him fighting and going, well, I mean, what do you want me to say? What do you want me to say? You know, and like,
yeah.
But you're watching the pain in his heart
yeah.
reveal itself through his words.
Yeah.
So it's actually quite a spirit. It was one of the better documentaries for that because it's not lurid.
Yeah.
It's very just like, this is hard for everybody.
Yeah.
Look at all these people struggling with their own mistakes.
Humanity.
Failures. Yeah. But that theater thing was awesome.
Wow.
Yay. We matter.
Yeah. Yeah. So wait, we were talking about, I just got it. Like we were talking about
The Bachelor. Yeah.
Things that people changing and growing on television programs or, yeah. 1,000,000%. Oh my God.
You should watch it.
That's what's it called?
I'm just going to look it up real quick.
Yeah, please do. And then I have deep esoteric things to talk to consciousness about.
That's what we should do.
And also we have to, I would like to answer that listener.
Oh. I forgot to contact her. I need to contact her and get more details before we can answer her.
Can we just try? I mean.
Yes, I'll read it to you.
I'm surprised that you feel so much like we have to get more details. Can I tell you the song that's stuck in my head? How do I get you alone? Alone.
Heart.
Yes.
Mind over murder.
Okay, I'm writing it down.
Mind over murder.
How do I get you alone?
You should be in a Heart cover band.
Oh my God, that would be fun.
You could do that. You could probably sing like one of those ladies. You can't play guitar. You'd have to like fake the guitar thing. But
so can I just say real quick before we go to Esoteria, how fucking fun it was to put Privilege to Pee and my favorite monologue on tape today.
Ah, you sang your old standby Privilege to Pee.
The old chestnut.
Yeah, it's good.
It was really fun.
Did you just sing it there in your room?
No, I like did it in the living room because the lights and the thing and the reasons.
Nice.
It was like a whole undertaking. I have to like go into the living room and completely re-unarrange it again.
And this was for a production of a theater production of a show. Is it an equity show at a local?
It's a season. It's just a season. It's like, hi, handshakey. This is me. I came here. I live here. Hello. And there's another one that I'm going to.
Is it in Jacksonville?
It's not. It's in Orlando.
Okay.
Which is an hour and a half.
Okay.
Which I'd be fine with. But also there's one in Miami that's having their season auditions that I'm going to submit to, which is like childhood. Like when I was a kid, I used to see these people and be like, oh, I could never. Look how big it is and all the seats. Now I'm like, oh my God, I will totally audition for that. Are you kidding? And their season is really interesting. And anyway, I'm going to put that on camera. That's fun. And then I'm going to audition for Mary Poppins locally.
Nice.
Did you know that the show Mary Poppins has like 70 character roles that are ridiculous in it?
No, but I believe it.
Yeah, I'm stoked. I'm like, triple cast me for all the weird old ladies.
You're going to be the old bird lady.
Yes.
Feed the birds.
Yes.
Tuppence a bag.
Yes, yes, yes. I'm a little nervous because I submitted their form and they haven't, there's no like, you submitted, we got it.
Yeah, I know. I don't like
that. That's just, I'm like, let me know you got it. Is this happening? What's the deal? But meanwhile, the Orlando one, 20 seconds later, they were like, we received your thing. Please don't email us. We received your thing.
Do not follow up.
That is a legit theater right there.
Nice.
Yeah. But like, I haven't felt relaxed and fun and groovy about our auditions in a long time. Relaxed and fun and groovy?
Yeah. No.
What? We'll see. How do I get? Okay, now.
It will not leave your head.
Esoteria. Esoteria. Are we going there?
Yes.
All right. So
I'm pulling up that email while you talk. So I'm listening.
Oh, good. Good, good, good. I think I have more questions for whoever about the relationship. I have more evolved, subtle questions about consciousness and God, because I've had some experiences this past week with consciousness and God in a new way. And I kind of want to just open the records and be like, so, and ask a bunch of stuff. There's this way that like, I still have it in my mind somehow that, well, okay, I can break it down, but I'm kind of like, why don't I break it down once we're in there? Let's like formally get in the records and then I'll say this big elaborate question I have. Or,
okay.
Or do you want me to say it? Do you care? Doesn't matter.
And then while we're in there, you want me to read this other question? Or you want to get into that now so you have a framework?
Well, why don't we? Yeah, you can read it while we're in there because I'll be more open and then we can open that person's records. Do they give us their name that we can then bleep?
Yep, I have their first and last name.
First and last name, perfect. Okay. Okay, so let's see here. I'm trying to figure out whose records we open.
Consciousness.
I think we're going to open mine and that's it. Let's start there and see what that does.
What's up, everybody? Rami here. I'm currently in the Berkshires. It's very wooded. I'm on the college campus of Williams College. I'm here for a theater festival thing. And it's very green and woodsy. And there are two foxes running around playing in front of my eyes. I mean, I'm watching them. And they're really cute. And I don't think I've ever seen a fox in real life before. And I would like to report that their bark sounds kind of like a chicken. And I'm sorry that they're not barking right now so that you could hear and judge for yourself, but I was getting chicken vibes and I was like, what animal is making this sound that's not unlike a chicken? And then I looked at the fox and I looked at its little mouth moving and I was like, oh, well, damn, that was a mammal making that sound. So it's possible that I think a lot of things sound like a chicken, but there it is. Rami's rules.
So I'd like to be taken into my Akashic records, please, if I could, conscious nurse. Oh my goodness. Yeah. And so I'll say the whole prayer as we all breathe into our low bellies. We do acknowledge the forces of light, asking for guidance, direction, and courage to know the truth as it is revealed for our highest good and the highest good of everyone connected to us. Excuse me, Holy Spirit of God, protect me from all forms of self-centeredness, please, and direct my attention to the work at hand. Help me to know myself in the light of the Akashic Records. Help me to see myself through the eyes of the Lords of the Records, and enable me to share the wisdom and compassion that the masters, teachers, and loved ones of Catherine Lauren Hardy Rubin have for Catherine Lauren Hardy Rubin. All right, so as I'm exploring to the record keepers here, these questions about consciousness and God, will it be most useful for me to open any other records? No. Okay. There's a bunch of energy moving. Okay, so... I'm just blissed out a little bit. Okay, sorry, distracted. I'm just like, oh, I could just rest there for like a day and a half. Okay, so I'm wondering.
Wait, can I ask you something?
Yeah.
You often have an experience of going into someone else's.
I was just thinking this.
Field and going like, oh, what's it like in their field? Oh, it feels like this. Do you have an experience that is separate from yourself when you go into your own records?
It's really funny you asked me this because I was literally thinking, huh, that's the first time in a long time I felt like, oh, that's what it feels like to get into Katie Rubin's records.
Can you describe it from a zoomed out perspective?
Yeah, let's see.
I think you should say like, God, it just feels really sexy and really welcoming and really smart. It's incredibly intelligent in there.
Really,
it's
thin and beautiful.
Just gorgeous. And it's,
people are really attracted to it. Okay, well, I can't say this. There's a lot of energy moving, so I'm just gonna let that happen. Like, you know how that'll happen when I'm in somebody's records? I'll be like, okay.
You're having a sinus experience that happened as soon as you got into your records.
Yeah, exactly. Well, it's tears and snot moving, which is often 3D energy processing, like actual physical transformation. Oh my God. It's either emotional or physical stuff transmuting through the tears that come. It happens with clients every time, or not every time, often. Okay. Well, first of all, what can you show us, record keepers, consciousness? What is this energy that's moving? All right. Oh yeah, one more chug. Hold on. Let me clear this. Oh, this Katie chick has a lot of energy she needs to move.
Healer, heal thyself.
Yeah. Oh. All right, I'm going to channel this as they're starting to talk. Okay, so... As you were speaking earlier, we have been moving you from place to place to place on the journey of integration and wholeness. Why? Because you asked for it. You asked quite distinctly, what would it take to feel whole, at peace, and happy? Is that a thing I can experience in this lifetime? Each step of your travels has been the next step necessary, the next location required to open the next key that opened the next door to the next possibility that made integration more and more and more possible for you. This energy moving now is how do we say that? There's a dropping into yourself that is occurring. This is when you're feeling the experience of, wow, I don't feel the need to go to the records all the time, or I don't feel the need to do big, high level, high energy practices. It's because being with yourself finally feels good enough that you don't need to go somewhere to feel better. You've been aware of this before, but this is a different experience of that here in this location, which is to say, you can drop in entirely to yourself here in this location because of the astrological aspects supporting you in doing so. In your case, you have a karmic lifetime where they're reminding me of the, okay, it's a lot of backstory. Okay, so if you recall the psychic who once said to you, this lifetime, all you're doing is tying up loose ends. And you didn't like that reading, did you? Nope, I didn't. They were correct in a certain sense. In another sense, not. So this coming to this location is the completion of the karmic journey you've been on to become yourself, to know yourself, to have spirit and body become one, to feel whole, to have self-love, to know what it is to feel your own truth in every moment without having to resist someone else's truth, without having to bristle against anyone. This is the completion of everything you've worked towards. And from here, there will be more work to do, but now you can be busy creating in the world what you're here to create, and worrying or working less on getting ready to do so. As much as your ego and mind have hated the fact that you couldn't really take off running, you've felt like you had boulders attached to your back by metal chains, and you've been dragging them forward, trying so hard. As much as that's been your experience, now, as you say, the wind is at your back, locations on your earth contribute to all kinds of different specific things for different people. It very much matters where you seat your body on the earth, you and everyone else, in terms of experiencing what you're here to experience, coming to know yourself, etc. Now, as you've recently discovered with the profile you carry, this is a big topic. Yours is a karmic life. Many people's are not. Many people are here to have more of a personal destiny life. The personal destiny life has more room in it for choice. And it could be this, it could be that. For you, it was always going to be what it was going to be. That is the journey of the 6-2. And so you find yourself here in this culmination point, this culmination moment of gratitude. And we feel this with you, this singing of gratitude in each moment. Just the gratitude for getting to be you and feeling supported. All of this brings us to, you had no parental nurturance for a reason. It was karmically seated that way. It was always going to be that way. For you to meet the divine, get your needs met in this way, and come to your wholeness through the combination and the blend of all the different practices and teachings, the parts work with the light work, with the consciousness work, with the astrology, with the friendships, with all of it. And so this energy that was moving as we began here today was almost like they show it to me, I just don't know how to say it. Like, as your being and body fuse, as you drop into yourself, for lack of a better way to say that, more fully in this location. You know, where you were in New York, you could barely, I mean, you did such an excellent job for how frazzled your system was by that frequency there, those sets of frequencies. Thank you. I thought I tried hard. Thank you. You did a great job. And it was never going to be ease for you there. And so now you're experiencing what it is to have ease in your body, which is for you a first, is it not? Yes. And so the clearing of the energy was, you could say, the last vestiges of the pieces, how do we say, of energy in the way of you fully dropping into the body. Little last nuggety pieces. Prepare yourself for a very different embodied experience going forward. We know you are hesitant to receive some of this information as you don't want to jinx it, as you say, but there can be no jinxing of what is meant to be. Okay. Did we ask a question?
I don't think.
Oh, it was, what is this energy that's moving?
Yeah.
And then, okay, then I wanted to ask about, okay, now I get it. All right. So can I ask a question now? Yes. Okay. Do you have anything else you need to say? No. Okay. Well, thank you for all that. That's, I've been hearing you say that to me all along, and I hear the whispers of that, and I feel that in my awareness, but I really appreciate the wordy download with verbiage, because I'll need to listen back to that. And they're like immediately like, you hear us all day. You hear what we're saying. You know what is. And it doesn't matter what your social friends think or believe or know or don't know. You know better than to be swayed. Okay, fair enough. It's still helpful to hear you guys say it. I mean, you know, I do live in a human body. We understand. All right. And so my questions are, lately there's been a return for me to questions about the relationship between what we call God, or what I call God, and consciousness. So I'll just ask the questions, and then if you don't mind, just anything you have on it. So for a while there, I was experiencing God as this kind of soft, like nurturing love feeling, whereas consciousness was sort of bright and all-inclusive. And I remember the teachings I've been given where they say, God is love, but consciousness includes everything and judges nothing. So consciousness includes death and murder and rape and all of it. Whereas God's realm is just love. So first of all, is that correct? And they give a big yes. Okay. So then which energy is supreme? That is to say, does God emanate from consciousness, or does consciousness emanate from God, or is it both? Okay, I get a distinct no. They're like, yes, God emanates from consciousness, because think of consciousness as the seat. It's the fabric. It's the fabric of reality. Reality includes everything. God is a certain alignment you can take to feel nurtured and nourished and guided and healed and directed. It also helps human beings be moralistically correct when they need assistance. How do you often wonder, soften your heart and become forgiving of someone you resent? How do you often wonder, as a human being, soften your heart and become loving of someone you are feeling defensive in the presence of. How do you do this? Well, the light of God is quite helpful. Also, the power of intention is quite helpful. But when the power of intention doesn't get you all the way there, the light of God is quite helpful, is it not? Yes. Yes, it is. But then I guess my question is, if the light of God emanates from or is born of consciousness, wouldn't it be wiser, smarter, more real, more direct to go straight to consciousness when I need something? No. That's a firm no. Okay, why? Can you say why? Consciousness is a realm for you to visit, connect with, tap into, when what you desire and require is the ability to see more possibilities, the ability to understand the nature of existence, the ability to understand the fabric of reality, the ability to access the experience of 3D and 5D and 9D time, space, dimensional truths. But when you need forgiveness, we can't always help you with that. God can. Because consciousness doesn't care if you forgive or not. We are every energy. We contain all the multitudes of all the everythings. So choose, don't choose, whatever. It's all detritus floating through space without God. God is a frequency of light that allows you to care and invest, to commit, to love, to stick together. You are inclined toward consciousness because you personally prefer freedom to the sticky, messy problem of relationship, and therefore the sticky, messy problem of love. Love is vastly messier and more complex than consciousness for you. The vast field of the all that is quite familiar to you, is it not? Yes. But love is a different story. You are becoming quite facile with it compared to how you have been in the past, are you not? Seems like I'm getting better. You're getting vastly better. And you have become vastly improved. You are, in fact, understanding in these last 4 days more about love than you've understood in your entire 44 years, are you not? Actually, that's very true. I've been having realizations left and right about it. Mm-hmm. I can say more, but yeah. And so here you are, arriving at what you've asked for, integration, access to the realms of the all that is, access to love, power and mercy, potency, strength, and vulnerability and care. You can carry all of it now and be all of it and not be so afraid that if you go forward in your life and step into more leadership, that you might hurt someone's heart from your brokenness and from the ways in the past you've been unintegrated with love. You can trust that you are integrated now, enough anyway, to trust that you won't behave badly. And if you do, you'll handle it quite well. It's been so much work to get here that it's hard to believe and really internalize that it could just be good now. Or that much better, you know? And so you do well to do as you've been doing, one moment at a time, enjoy it, rejoice in it, have gratitude for it, and just watch over time retrospectively as those moments add up and add up and add up to a life of love and joy. You can safely expect this now, but we understand with how your nervous systems work that you'll need some time experiencing this directly in order to believe us. So it is. Well, that was moving.
Yeah.
I could drift in this space for a long time. Do you have anything?
That was just to hear that the thing about you can finally trust love, basically, is kind of my most specific takeaway from just listening to that for you. That's got to be a little bit of a earth shaker. If you can believe it, like if you can actually take that in.
Yeah, it's scary, but exciting.
Yeah.
Yeah, human love. Yeesh.
It's a rough place to, rough waters to swim in.
Yeah, it's exciting though. I'd like to experience a large portion of this life, you know, doing that. That would be cool.
You know, and if I were going to sort of philosophize about it, and like, because you're sort of asking relative to the move, like that's what your question was sort of framed around, was like, what is this energy now that I am here? What is, why is, how is it? And it didn't really directly address like, this is the energy. It was just more like, oh, you've been learning about love. And now, I mean, there was some other stuff too, but like,
wait, which part about energy? Love,
you asked like, what is this energy that I am feeling?
Oh, I was asking, what is the energy that I was yawning out of my eyes?
Oh, okay. Okay.
That's what I meant.
Gotcha.
Because the energy I've been feeling is the astrology of the location.
Gotcha.
Yeah, that feels pretty clear.
But the thing about trusting love, I just lost my own thread.
Yeah.
Oh, I wonder, you know, with the astrology and the exalted planets, but also like there is a very specific piece of it, which is your sister.
Oh, yeah.
And you have a very specific, we'll call it dynamic relationship. Maybe not dynamic is the wrong word. You have a full relationship with family, meaning it is fraught. There's a lot.
There has been.
There has been in your life.
Yeah.
Between mother and father and family and not trusting love. You weren't given tools to trust. You were, in fact, told the opposite.
Right.
You were very clearly stated, you cannot trust this.
Correct.
You cannot count on it or trust it. And so now you have returned, in a sense, to a little bit of a nest. You've like come back to a space. And let's not forget that your mother is here too.
Yep.
This person with whom you have a very something relationship with, like,
not good.
It's not good, but she, let's be honest, she matters.
Oh, for sure.
In the sense that the depth of impact she has on your soul, as much as you say, I don't have a relationship with her, you 100% have a relationship with her.
Totally.
Yeah.
Yes, a million percent.
Not that you're going to get back together with your mom or anything like that necessarily, but coming to live in this space that's so powerful for you and with your sister specifically, with whom that is a complicated story, which you have shared some of on the,
You know,
about her history and your sisterly, specific sisterly history.
Well, it feels very good. Our connection is really good. I mean, she's young and we're different and we're working. We have to like, whose picture do we hang in the kitchen? But that's like the worst of it, you know? It's so nice to have, I've said this a couple times in the recent years, like, oh, that's what it's like to have a family member you like. I've never had that.
And she is not your mother's daughter.
Correct.
I don't know what that means. I just made that, I made that sound like it was really deep.
Well,
and let's not forget, she is not your mother's daughter.
Well, it's relevant. We're not connected by blood, but it's just like we're connected by sort of, you could say, obligation. Our families married each other, but like we actually like hanging out. And because she was raised by my dad, you know, she'll say sometimes it's, and she was raised in a fully different time period. I was not around, I was not there.
Uh-huh.
She was two when I was 18. So I was like entering adulthood and she was being raised by my dad.
Yeah.
So she'll say like every now and again, she'll slip up and feel like she's, when she's talking to me, she'll talk like she talks to her friends.
Uh-huh.
Because we're friendly, we're friends. So she'll say like, yeah, my dad is really weird. He's, and I'll be like,
my dad?
She doesn't catch it. She'll just, and then I'm always like, our dad? She's like, right, sorry, our dad. But she literally had her own full experience of him.
Yeah.
On her own as an only child.
Yeah.
And I had my own full experience of him on my own as an only child. And, but it's genetically, he's connected to me, but they're closer.
Yeah. Well, she was raised outside of your mother being part of that story.
And outside of him being an active alcoholic.
That's huge.
He was sober the whole time with her.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway.
Yeah.
So all of this. And that's a lot about me, I feel like.
What do you think about that, though, the love thing? I'm just hammering on that one thing. That was my big, that was the thing that landed the most with me with what you just.
Well,
with
your... what I think about it is like, I'm excited to experience it positively and to do it better. Like, I'm excited. It's like a whole new chapter. Like, I've never, like, human love, relying on human love. I've been, like I was saying just a moment ago when they were talking, I've been having these, oh boy, awarenesses of what's possible for me here in terms of how I could love someone and what that could feel like that are kind of deep. And like for them to bring that up felt really validating because it's like, that's what I've been sitting with. Anyway, what I'm saying is I'm excited to lean into it and I haven't been before. It feels safer than ever to lean into it.
Yeah.
And I'm sure I'll bump up against a million things inside of it. And it's not like, let's be real, it's not like I've never loved people or never had any love in my life. It's more like I'm ready to do it way differently and a lot better, I think.
Yeah.
Are you frozen? Let it go. Let it go. Don't hold it back anymore. Let it go.
We were both frozen for a moment.
That's why I sang that song.
Great. We'll just hold. I think we're just
that
learning to just hold for it.
Storm is ours. I just sang through the whole thing.
Okay.
Here I stand. Okay, so yeah.
Cool.
Does that answer it?
That answers my question, yeah.
All right. What does our listener want to know?
How much time do you have?
Me?
Yeah.
I have no friends.
You have clients and life.
I
could do probably another 20 minutes, though,
All right.
We need to. So let me pull that up. I just have to acknowledge that I'm sitting in a sweat box. I am in my greenhouse.
No.
And I am just starting to just drip, and that's okay. I'm just going to allow that. I'm going to be in a sauna, and it feels, you know, like that's therapeutic. Just when it's done, I'll be completely soaked, and I'll go take a shower.
Okay, I'm sorry.
No, it just started to hot flash on me.
Well, that's a good reason to wrap up then.
No,
but
let's
do this onesie here.
Yeah.
What's the person's name?
Beep warning. My name is.
Oh, what a delightful name. Hold on. I'm going to write it on my client list. I love that. I hope you're from the Netherlands or...
And just for context, you can bleep this name too. My two kids and I are good friends with...
Oh, wonderful. Okay.
So, she connected you up to the podcast very recently. She's a very recent listener.
Okay.
Finally started listening, and now I'm obsessed. I love what you're doing. My life feels better by listening.
Oh, my God.
I teach private music lessons, have done for many years. I've got a studio and two other teachers working for me. Wow. However, lately I have been getting all sorts of signals that I need to shift in a way that gives me more time with my kids and greater resources than the minimum I make through lessons. That's the side story. With these signals, I've tried to stay open to possibilities. Writing is one of the things that continues to spin around in my life.
Hmm.
This last time when write spun around again, it came with a really strong urge to dive into my genealogy.
Hmm.
So I've honored that deep dive and have started writing my story as a mother, my grandmother's story as a mother, and my great-grandmother's story as a mother, trying to build a bit of a through line. All this brings me to my actual question. I feel like I need to get permission from my grandmother and great-grandmother, both have passed, to tell this story.
I love that.
Yeah, especially because there will be pieces of it that I will have to take some liberties in telling how they thought and felt.
Mm-hmm.
So first question, should I be writing? And can I tell their stories through my own eyes? So that's the first question. Second question is more specific to the grandmother. It's actually like a history question, a mystery history question. So the second piece of that is connected to my great-grandmother, who was married for 7 years. Over that 7 years, had 8 pregnancies and only 3 live births. This is 1905 to 1912. In 1912, she boldly got a divorce. She had another child in 1916 out of wedlock, and in 1919, married that man in 1920. And in 1919, married that man in 1920. Oh, had 2 children in 1916 and 1919. And then she married that person in 1920. But she put both of those 2 children in an orphanage. One of those was my grandmother.
Okay.
So my second question is, why did she get a divorce?
Huh?
Is it connected to losing so many babies? So why did she divorce the first baby daddy?
The great-grandmother?
Yes. But we don't have that person's name.
That's okay. I don't think we need it.
And why did she literally give up 2 of those babies? Which included her grandmother and her.
Okay. All right. I'm going to open her records. Give me a second. All right. And so we do acknowledge the forces of light.
Oh, Squeezle went upside down for this one. That's a special one when the dog is upside down. She's the oracle of doggy love.
Okay. And so we do acknowledge the forces of light, asking for guidance, direction, and courage to know the truth. As it is revealed for our highest good and the highest good of everyone connected to us. Holy Spirit of God, protect me, please, from all forms of self-centeredness. Direct my attention to the work at hand. Help me to know. In the light of the Akashic Records, help me to see through the eyes of the Lords of the Records. And enable me to share, please, the wisdom and compassion that the masters, teachers, and loved ones of will have forged. And then I'll go quiet for just a second. Okay. All right, I'm just asking to be deepened into connection with those records.
Oh, Squeezo, the dog is biting my hand.
Okay. All right. Okay, what was the first question again?
Does she need to get some sort of permission or communication with her grandmother and great-grandmother in order to tell their stories?
I get a no. But she also said, didn't she say she wants permission?
I feel like I need to get permission from my grandmother and great-grandmother to tell this story.
Okay, let me check in.
Should I be writing, and can I tell their stories through my own eyes?
Okay. Is it in Gina Holsupple's highest good to be writing? Yes. Will she enjoy writing? Sometimes. You know how writing is. Sometimes it's fun and sometimes it's not. Will it be satisfying for her? Yes. Will it lead to a feeling of succeeding in life? Yes. You want to approach this process lightheartedly as a sideline project for fun as you're doing it. That will be the way to make it worth doing. If it starts to get taken too seriously before it's time, it's going to kill it for you. So please enjoy it and do it when you make time for it, but enjoy it. Let it be a fun thing you're doing. It would also be great for you to involve other people, like join a group or something where you can have some accountability and consistency and feedback and support. You might even make some new friends in a group like this. Bless you, Squeezle the dog. Now, so let me ask the record keepers for Gina. Can we get permission from the grandmother? They're like, you don't need it. It's fine. They're in support of it. Go forth and prosper.
Even if it means taking some liberties with the actual truth of the story.
On the other side, they get what's happening. They go, girl, you take care of you. You do what you got to do. Have fun, too. We'll enjoy watching you, what's that word? Memorialize us and also create new narratives about us. That's gonna be a hoot, they say. That'll be a hoot. Yeah, they're excited about it. They don't mind at all. This kind of comes back to, they don't want you to be so holy and sacred about it all. It's like, yeah, have a good time.
Cool.
Yeah. What else?
Well, the second question is very specific about the great grandmother.
Okay.
Basically, why did she get that divorce from the first husband who she had 8 pregnancies but 3 kids with? Because it was 1912. It was a bold divorce. Big deal to get a divorce.
Yeah. 8 pregnancies, 3 births. So she had 5 miscarriages?
Sounds like it.
Or
yes.
Stillbirths? Yeah. Looks like some stillbirths. Oof, that's rough. So the question is, why did the great-grandmother divorce him, or why did he divorce her?
And it sounds like she divorced him.
Okay.
As far as she could tell from her research.
Okay, hold on. Her name is... Is that right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So why did Bull's grandmother's mother, great-grandmother, divorce her husband, who she had all these births, babies with? It was not spiritually correct. She knew it was incorrect. She wasn't in love. Was he abusive? No. Was she abusive? No. She always felt like she was doing him a disservice by holding him back, by staying with him when she knew she shouldn't be there. The love wasn't right. It wasn't quite right. And she knew it. There was a great deconditioning that happened for her during the process of trying and trying and trying with these babies. Death after death after death confronted her with her true feelings. She had a profound spiritual awakening after 2-3 of the deaths, or 3 of the stillbirths. It happened, and then it happened again, and then in the third one, she said, okay, I can't not say this. She was crying one time, He came in and she said, I feel awful. I have to say it. I'm so sorry. She felt awful. He was understanding. He understood and he knew. He could feel it anyway. It's just that in that time, as you said, the culture was not supportive of this kind of choice. So it was a bold cultural move. Very correct. I even get that they were amicable. I think they were amicable when they divorced. My projection on this story was that he must have been abusive, but then it was like, nope. Was the grandfather abusive? The great-grandfather? No. Alcoholic? Nothing. Well, that's what I get.
And then, so the grandmother that she's talking about, she actually descends not from that guy, but from the second husband.
Okay.
And they had two babies originally out of wedlock, but then they did get married, but they gave up those two children and put them in an orphanage. And she does kind of say, why did she give up two more?
Okay.
So she still had her original three from the first marriage, but then she gave up her two with the guy that she married.
So...
Grandmother was adopted, ultimately. Was from an orphanage. I don't know if she was adopted. We actually don't know that. But she was given up to an orphanage.
Oh, she's one of the two that was given up.
Yeah, the grandmother is. Yes.
All right. It's because... Oh, man. The great-grandmother... Oh, boy. This is a bold claim. I'm feeling uncomfortable. Like, can I say this? I don't want anybody to feel judged or slandered. I don't think we would care now, but it's... I think it's all the shame in the lineage that's making me feel that way. But the great-grandmother had an affair with this man she actually loved. When she left the other man, she got with this guy and then felt so guilty and knew that she would be shamed publicly for having cheated because of the timeline of the first baby. In other words, the new baby could only have been conceived during her marriage.
Oh.
And that would have been too much for everybody. So she hid it and gave the baby away.
That actually doesn't track.
Okay, why?
So there might be some date problems. She got a divorce in 1912. Then she had a baby in 1916 and 1919. 4 years later.
Okay. Okay, I don't know what to say about that.
It was out of wedlock. Those babies were out of wedlock. They were before they were married.
Okay, is that why? No. Okay, hold on. Is she sure about those dates?
I can't say.
Okay, hold on. Am I missing anything here? No. So you're telling me the great-grandmother got pregnant while married to the other guy, had that baby. No, didn't have that baby.
No, lost some babies.
No, wait, hold on. Babies. Don't tell me. I'm talking to them.
Oh, okay.
Because I'm trying to track what they're giving me. It's too many details. Sorry, it's just too many details. So,
fine.
So you're saying she got pregnant with the new guy while still with the old guy? Yes. People knew about it? No. Did that baby survive? Yes. Did she birth that baby? No. Wait, so what do you mean it survived, but she didn't birth it? Did she give birth to that baby? No. So it survived for a while, but then didn't make it? Yes. Okay, but what does that have to do with giving these two babies later? Were these two babies, did they actually happen later? Yes. Okay. Okay. So people saw her getting pregnant. The husband knew it wasn't his. She confessed to him. they get divorced. The baby doesn't make it. Is that all right? Yes. Okay. Then, what's with these other two babies? When the other two babies came along, too much shame. Because out of wedlock? No. Well, then why? Because of the first pregnancy while she was still married to the other guy? Yes. But then why? Sorry, I'm losing the thread too. So the other two babies, because people would have known, it was the same deal. It was, she slept with a guy during her marriage, got pregnant by him. It was too shameful to actually have these kids because of having slept with him during the marriage. Are you with me on that, Cass?
I think so. It's a little...
Tell me more. It's a little...
Just later. So they did, even though they got married later, the guy she had cheated with originally.
Yes.
They eight years later, got actually married.
Uh-huh.
With two children who they had had prior to them getting married.
With two children.
And then they put those kids up for adoption into an orphanage.
Okay.
After they got married.
Okay, was it something other than what I've said already? No. Was one of them sick? Was one of them dying? Were either of the parents sick and dying? Were they unable to afford the kids? None of this reads. Were they themselves so ashamed? Yeah, sorry, that's what I get. Is the shame of having had sex out of wedlock and then these kids, and they thought they could make it work and they just couldn't handle it, so... That was it.
Okay.
And they got married because they loved each other and they wanted to get married. Did they also get married to, like, social norms? No. They just really wanted to be married. They just couldn't... Oh, also there was some... stones thrown. Literal and metaphoric. As the kids came into existence, the two kids... People were literally stoning them. They were kind of forced, I think, to get rid of these kids out of shame and stoning. Like their lives were threatened. But it all came from the cheating and everybody's judgments of the cheating.
Did the original three kids stay with the dad?
Did the original three kids... The grandmother's original three kids stay with the dad.
The great-grandmother's.
Great-grandmother's. Yeah. You mean when they got divorced?
Yeah.
Did the three kids the great-grandmother and had get, when they divorced, stay with the dad? No. Did they stay with her? Yes.
Hmm. So she just couldn't combine the two families.
Yes. Did the kids, the first three kids, have beef or problems with the other two? No. No, it was the cultural pressure. It was the shame.
Okay.
Tell me the thing about what did I get wrong? The timeline, what was wrong about it?
Timeline. You said that she got, the first kid was conceived, the first of the second wave of children.
Yeah.
Was conceived while still married to the first husband.
Okay, but that's because it was this other kid that didn't make it.
So like the one of the eight lost, one of the eight pregnancies was towards the end of their. And it wasn't his. It was the second guy's.
Correct. So everybody in the area saw every kid they had as like devil child, stone the child, evidence of their whoring and terribleness.
Gotcha.
I wonder where they lived. Where did they live? No. Okay. Does she say where they lived?
No.
And it was 1912?
Mm-hmm. This whole story takes place from like 1905 to 1920 something.
Were people still stoning people at that time?
Shit if I know. They could throw rocks at people. It's like stoning is like an official act, you know, but you could get rocks thrown. I've had rocks thrown at me by an asshole.
Right.
For judgment, for being hanging out with a queer person.
Really?
Yeah. One time in high school. Just like a rock whizzed by our head, but still.
God, people can be so fucking terrible.
Yeah.
Well, I hope that's helpful. I'm sorry for my mistake.
Timelines are funny.
I mean, it makes sense. That's a lot of fucking kids.
It's a lot to deal with.
But I don't like getting details wrong. That sucks.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I'm going to close her.
You want to close up?
Yeah. So I want to thank the masters, teachers, loved ones for the love and compassion, the lords of the records for the point of view and the Holy Spirit of light for all knowledge and healing. I see you return all of people's energy to herself. I ask that you return her to her complete human wholeness. Divine portal and the Akashic records of are now closed. I'm in. The divine portal and the Akashic records are now closed. I'm in. The divine portal and the Akashic records of are now closed. I'm in. I'm in. I'm in. Does that name feel like a brand of? I don't know. It feels like I get my Scandinavian jeans sent to me in a burlap sack.
It does.
From it's Scandinavia.
Right. Oh, are those jeans?
Exactly.
Yeah, that is what I'm hearing.
But it's very, I think they would Americanize it probably. It's not likely that they would keep as the brand name. Anyway.
Well, I mean, IKEA does all kinds of things like that, so.
8 kids. Can you imagine making 8 kids in your body?
Can't imagine raising 1 kid.
Okay.
Look at us two child-free people living our lives.
I have to go put goo in my dog's ear. So I gotta go.
Sexy. I gotta go put like goo on my body, but it'll be like soap. I just mean soap because I'm sweaty and I'm gonna take a shower.
You're talking about jizz.
Just gonna rub it all over my body. Thank you. And good night.
Thank you.
Do your work.
Do your work.
Talk to you soon.
Okay, bye.
Bye.
Love you. Bye. Asking for all of the answers. Say what? All of the answers. Yeah, all the answers. Hey, guys. Thanks for listening. We'd love to hear from you. Please email us with your questions so that we have questions to answer in the Akashic Records. Our email address is allanswerspod@gmail.com. That's allanswerspod@gmail.com. And if you'd like to find us on Facebook or Twitter, it's @allanswerspod. Thank you.
You're so frozen and you look so crazy. Now you're back.
Mixed and edited by Desmond McNeese for We Mixed It, LLC. Go to whatsoundsawesome.com. But tonight,